good to see everyone here this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're here to study what thus saith the Lord, to be encouraged, but also we're here to help one another to see that this is the best life that you can live. We do want to welcome those who are visiting with us. I do want to say I have my good friend, Brother Joshua Rios, and his family here. Look, so glad that they're here with us on this morning. Friends, we think about Jesus Christ and what a great friend he is. As a matter of fact, when we consider some of the friendly things that he did, especially to his apostles, we can't help but appreciate him. Can't help but love him more and more. We live in a time, and I guess it's always been like this, that it's just difficult to get friends. It seems as if when you get to know someone and you get pretty close, something happens and it severs the friendship, or they move away. We think about the Christ and we consider what he has to say as relates to being a friend. What will it take for us to be his friend and to remain his friend? I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Proverbs 18 and verse number 24, that if a man desires to be friendly, he must show himself to be friendly. For the latter part of that verse is just as powerful. In Proverbs 18, 24, part B of that verse, literally says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Can't help but to think about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thought about what Jesus said in John 3 and verse number 29 as it relates to the bridegroom and how the bridegroom had a friend and his friend was the best man. You know, your best man ought to be a friend, ought to be someone real close. We consider the words of Jesus Christ. If you will, turn your Bibles to John 15. And I want us to take notice of verse number 13. We're going to be all in this particular text for the next few minutes to gather some encouragement, to gather some wisdom, to solidify our faith, to give us things that we stand in need of. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We think about this great, powerful passage, and we understand that Jesus is a great friend, but in order to be his friend, you have to keep his commandments. If you will, let's just take a little perusal from chapter 14 to chapter 16. And we know that Jesus was a friend to his apostles because in chapter 14, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry, chapter 13, he washes his disciples' feet. Here is the Savior of the world, deity, comes down from heaven and he is serving his apostles. He's serving his friends. And what he does, he commands them, what I have done unto you, do to one another. It's interesting that this great man of God being an example to his apostles. I'm an example to you. You be an example to the world, to one another. And no wonder he can say in John chapter 13 verses 34 and 35, we see something very, very powerful in these passages. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus, as he serves his disciples, as he serves his friends, demonstrates what true love is in this time context, and that's his love. That's his service toward them. But in chapter 14, a great friend always gives hope. Here we see Jesus as he is telling his disciples in verse number 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My house, in my Father's house, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, where are you going? How do we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus gives his apostles hope. He gives his friends hope that you're going to be where I am. But then in chapter 15, take notice. In chapter 15, he says something very encouraging to them in verse number 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean. Why, Jesus? Because of the word which I have spoken to you. Notice what he tells his apostles, his friends, that you're clean already. Now, friends, when we consider the context of these passages are with him and his apostles only. However, when we consider some of the great principles that can be applied, which we're not ready for that part of the lesson yet, it is worthy of our consideration. But he tells them that you are all clean because of the word which I spoke to you. But then notice in verse 4, some 12 times, friends, the word abide or remain is used. The Greek word meno, M-E-N-O. When we consider this particular word, it literally means to remain as one, not to become another or different. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, did you hear that? Did you hear the definition of the word meno or abide or remain? To remain as one, not to become another, not to become different. Jesus was a friend to his apostles, his disciples, because he himself remained as one. He did not become another, nor was he different. But he required this of even them. But before we go into those particular passages, looking at the word remain or abide, chapter 16. In chapter 16, a great friend that Jesus was to his apostles, he gives the purpose or the mission of the Holy Spirit in verses 7 through 9. But in verse number 13, notice what he says in verse number 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. Now remember, the context is him talking to his friends, his apostles, his disciples. He says there, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. When we consider this, friends, he is talking only to them. And the reason why is because he wanted them to remain his friends. He wanted them to have the guidance that they needed, and it was only going to be through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, who is God, Acts 5 and verse 4. The Holy Spirit was going to be guiding them into all of the truth. Power was going to be coming from on high, Mark 9, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, we find that the Holy Spirit indeed fell upon them, and they began to speak with tongues, and the church began through the preaching of the apostles, his friends, his disciples, because of the Holy Spirit's leading. But chapter 15, let's go back to that. And here is where we want to take the bulk of our lesson. Because what does it mean to be a friend to Jesus? If the apostles, the disciples, his friends, were to remain his friends, to remain in the position, listen to this, as apostles and disciples, then they had to abide. They couldn't become something different. They couldn't become something else. They had to remain as one. Now, let's think about that definition as we look at the text. Verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, there's our word again, in the vine. Neither can you. Now notice the illustration that Jesus gives to his friends, his apostles, his disciples. He says, neither can you unless you abide, remain, don't become something different or another in me. Now, already some three times this word is used in one verse. The idea here is concrete, that he wanted his disciples to be focused on remaining in him. And the only way that they could have remained in him, and we're going to see this here in a few minutes, they had to remember that they were cleansed through the word. All right? Look at verse number 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. Remember, he said that you had to abide in the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Put in your notes, if you will. In Romans 7 and verse number 4, there the Bible clearly teaches us that that old system, the Mosaic system, had to be put away, and here ushers in the new system, the system of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And the reason why this new system was ushered in and that old system was nailed to the cross is that God wants us to bear fruit unto him. Which means that one cannot bear fruit under that old system. Why? Because Jesus nailed it to the cross. Those who desire to be friends of Jesus today have to abide in Christ. Notice the latter part of that particular verse. And he says, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide, there's our word. Meaning, if anyone does not remain as one, if anyone doesn't become something different, or if he doesn't remain the same, if you will, in this case, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. You know, it's interesting. I was looking at that word withered. I thought it was very interesting what the Greek brought out of that word. The idea of the fluid being drawn out of something. You know, when a branch or maybe some type of fruit falls off of the tree, and if it stays on the ground, it starts to shrivel up. Well, it's already dead because it's not connected to the source, right? But it takes time for it to dry up and wither. Now, friends, think about this. Is it possible for someone to be a friend of Jesus, break off from him as being the vine, and they look like a friend for a while until they shrivel up? Here, Jesus tells his disciples, and we keep it in the context of him talking to his disciples. He's not talking to us. He's talking to them. Why? Because they could fall away too. But then notice what he says. And they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. Now notice what Jesus tells his disciples. If you abide in me, this is the sixth time that he uses this word, meno. And notice, my words abide in you. Now listen to this. As he is talking to his disciples, you're my friend. And we're going to see this here in a few minutes. But he says, but if you abide in me, and notice, and my words abide in you. You know, these are the words of God right here. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every last word that's in this Bible, guess what? God says, I want you to read it. And I want you to rightly divide it. And every word that Jesus spoke, and I'm glad that some versions have Jesus in red, we can know exactly what Jesus has spoken. And the words of Jesus, we can take it in, we can imbibe it, we can download it in our hearts, and we know that if we apply it to our lives, we will never shrivel up. We will always abide. Now notice what he says. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now he's talking to his disciples. But isn't it interesting? Turn your Bibles to 1 John 5 and look at verse 13 and 14. John, the apostle of love, has this to say. In 1 John 5, starting at verse number 13, notice what the Bible here says. These things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Friends, you don't have to guess. You don't have to guess. You don't have to feel. You can know you have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. Now notice what he says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Now here John is talking to the church that is scattered. But Jesus in John 15 is talking directly to his apostles, his disciples, yea, his friends. Notice, go back to John 15 and look at verse number 11. These things, am I right? No, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, now listen to this. I also love you. Abide in my love. Hold on. First, Jesus told his disciples, abide in me. Abide in the vine. Now he says, the Father loved me. Now, what I want you to do is abide, remain, don't change, don't be something different in my love. Now, why is that important for us to understand as it relates to the apostles? Because the apostles would one day, on the day of Pentecost, would be preaching the gospel, thus becoming ambassadors for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, Ephesians 6 verse 20. Now that's a very interesting and powerful point. Why is that important to us today? Because our spirituality is based upon the apostles' teaching. When we love Jesus, that's because we love his apostles' teaching. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus and the Father that sent the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they were his friends. Notice what he says in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Hold on. Is the opposite true? Is the opposite true that if the apostles didn't keep the commandments of Jesus, they wouldn't abide in his love? The opposite is true. Friends, let no one fool us. There are even some who would say that, you know, this is about relationship, not rule keeping. Think about that. Analyze that. That's false doctrine. Try that with your spouse and see how far you get. Y'all laugh on that one because it's true. So maybe this is about relationship. It's not about rule keeping. If I am unfaithful, I am breaking the rules. Amen. You know why? Because God's rule tells me to be faithful. And when I love God, I do what he has told me to do. Jesus says, If you keep my commandments, notice, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Hold on. Jesus was not asking or commanding his disciples, his apostles, his friends to do anything that he himself has not done. Look at John 10 in verse number 18, if I'm not mistaken. John 10 in verse number 18. Yes, there it is. John 10 and verse number 18. Let's throw in verse 17. Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Listen to this. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. Here it is. This command I have received from my Father. Hold on. Jesus kept commands? Jesus kept the commands of his Father? Yes, he did. Friends, we would be dead in our sins. The world would be entirely lost. We would be people most pitiful if Jesus did not keep the commandments of his Father. Jesus demonstrates how much he loved his Father by laying down his life. But then notice, go back to John 15, and notice what the Bible here says in verse number 11. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may abide, may remain, be steadfast in you, and that your joy may be full. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, did you hear that? Three things already we have seen. Number one, we see that he wanted his apostles, his disciples, his friends to remain in the vine. Then secondly, he said, remain in his love. And now he says, you're going to be remaining in my joy. Isn't that beautiful in that text? And friends, what this teaches us already is that as disciples of Christ, as friends of Jesus Christ, even today, that if I'm going to remain in the vine, if I'm going to remain in his love, and if I'm going to remain in the joy that God has blessed me to be in once I obeyed the gospel, friends, I have to keep his commandments. I got to keep his word. It has to be near and dear to my heart. I'm reminded of what Job said, that I love your word more than my necessary food. Friends, notice what he says in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Going back to John 13, 34 and 35. As I have loved you. Greater love. Now this is where we began right here. Has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's stop there. Let's analyze this verse real quick. Let's think about this from the mindset of the disciples, the apostles, his friends. Here is their Lord. And Jesus tells them, greater love than this. No greater love than this, I'm sorry. Greater love has no man than this. I'll get it right. That a man lay down his life for his friend. Now think about this. Can you imagine his disciples hearing these words and laying down his life? Question. Can we truly think about Jesus laying down his life without thinking about that old rugged cross, Brother Chad? That's where he laid down his life. Can we truly think about this man laying down his life without thinking about the commandments that he left? We can't. Can we truly think about this man laying down his life without him being raised from the dead and ascending back to his Father, giving us remission of sins? Oh, friends, this is beautiful. And the reason why it's beautiful, because the question we have to ask ourselves before we get to the very next verse, because that's where the rubber meets the road, right there, Brother Joshua. Here it is. You ready? If I'm going to be a friend to Jesus, you know we sing that song, I got to lay down my life too. Wow. You know, I might give the invitation because I think you got the point. Jesus would say it like this. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow me, lay down your life. The hardest thing to do is to die for a friend. Hold on. Jesus, are you our friend?
Mm-hmm.
If you do what I say. Do we understand that we can be friends and then we can be friends? Y'all get that? Our friendship with deity regulates our friendship with humanity. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. You are my friends. You know he's talking to his disciples. If you do whatever I command you. Look at John 14, 15. In John 14, 15, a very familiar passage, Jesus would say this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hold on. But But Jesus adds more to it in chapter 15, verse 14, Brother Clark. He says, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Which means that if his disciples did not do what was commanded of them, they break the position of friendship. But if they remain in the commandments, if they remain in his word, they then remain in the joy. They remain in the love. They remain in the vine. They remain in God. Let me give you one more verse. Notice what he says in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants. Now, friends, when I was studying this, and I've studied this before, maturity means something. Getting older means something. Being young is good, vibrant, got a lot of energy. But getting older is beautiful. You know, we have a couple gray heads in here. You know, that's so beautiful. Especially when that's coupled with wisdom and experience and compassion and truth. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples, his apostles, his friends. I really wonder if they understood the gravity of what he just said right here. Listen to it. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants. Hold on. The apostle Paul would say I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Which one is it? No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not, notice, know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Hold on. Jesus, are you telling me that I can be your friend today? Yes. I've given you my word. I have given you my word that you can understand the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I've given you my word so you can understand that once you get married, you stay married. I've given you my word so you can understand how to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, Evelyn, I wish I had this information when our kids were little. We used to tell our children, we're not your friends. You know, that's a lie. In Titus chapter 2, I learned that your children ought to be your friends. Our Father in heaven is our friend if we do what he says. So we ought to be friendly. Proverbs 18 verse 24. And our children should remain friends with us by doing what we have told them to do. No wonder what happens when an individual steps outside of the law system. When that happens, they no longer are friendly with the system of law. Therefore, the law has to close in on him, and then they have to take action upon them. Why? They're no longer friendly to the law, nor to society. And when we consider the law of Christ, if we're going to remain friends with Jesus and remain friends with God, we got to stay within the law of Christ, not making up our own law, walking according to our own understanding, doing our own thing. Here, if the disciples did what Jesus said, they would remain friends with God. And we know this is true. Why? Because there was one Brother Dennis that didn't remain friends. His name was Judas. Question. I leave you with this. What are you doing to make sure that you remain a friend to Jesus? Brother Chad, can we sing that song as an invitation instead? I'll be a friend to Jesus. Are we making sure, listen to this, friends, are we making sure that we're walking according to the grace of God? Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. Are we making sure that God himself is pleased with our thoughts? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. Are we making sure that we're buffeting our body? Therefore, even when we're tempted, we tell our bodies no. Why? I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of Jesus. I want to make sure that I'm a great example to those who are around me in the society that I live in my own home. And if anybody ought to see Christ living in us, the hope of glory, it ought to be our families. Just as the church deserved to see the apostles living right, our children deserve to see us living right. Our community deserves to see us living right. With that being said, friends, God wants us to be friends to Jesus. But that cannot happen if we don't listen to every word that God has said. I want to encourage all of us. Read your Bible more this week than you did last week. And watch your thinking transform. Read your Bible more this week and pray more this week. And watch your life transform. And watch you see your friendship grow with the Lord even more. Friends, we are friends if we're doing what God says. I can honestly see why people are at odds with God. God, you're not going to tell me what to do. There it is, right there, right. That's it. And some people think that way, Brother Raphael, about the law. The law is not going to tell me what to do. And some people think that way about their own spouse. He ain't going to tell me what to do. Hold on. God tells us what to do. And God says, if you want to be my friend, do what I say. Question, is that too much to ask? Brother Chad led us in the very first song today. Salvation has been brought down. And the very fact that salvation has been brought down, God has every right to tell us what to do. Isn't that beautiful? He has every right. I'm saving you. And if you want to remain saved, if you want to remain in the abundant life, if you want to remain in the Lord's church, if you want to remain faithful, do what I told you. And everything that God tells us to do is always for our good. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider being a friend to Jesus, not on your own terms, not based upon your own doctrine or teaching, but on the teachings of Jesus. Jesus would say it like this to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news, not some regular good news, I just bought something, or some regular good news, I've been healed of something. But the good news of a man dying one day on a cross. The good news of him being buried in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. The good news of God raising him up on the third day, 1 Corinthians 15. And the good news of him being ascended upon a cloud to sit on God's right hand, making intercession and mediation for the entire world. Good news. But the good news of him coming back one day to get the church, that's good news. But the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the appearance of Christ is the good news that one must believe. And the good news of him establishing his kingdom, Mark 1 verse 14, which is the church, Matthew 16, 18, and 19. And the good news of being faithful, even to the point of death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, and I'll give you the crown of life. But maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been friendly toward the Lord. You know that happens. Thank God that he has put in his mandate, repentance and confession. Isn't that beautiful that God thought of that? They're going to mess up one day and I know it, but I love them so much that I'm going to give them a way back to me. Acts 8 and verse 22. Peter told Simon the sorcerer, repent and pray. Isn't it beautiful? How friendly are we to God as we stand and as we sing to save his invitation?